had a liner installed in them, a bearing liner installed that would be greased from a grease block. So it was lubricated all the time. Every time it rotated, the grease block sat on top and just wicked its way in to keep it lubricated, keep it running smoothly. We would make cleats, these V cleats that the transmission belts drove the drum from the drive shaft. The V cleats were nailed onto the outside of the drum, and the V belts ran into the groove, and that's how the drum was turned. So those cleats had to be made. It was a very labor-intensive process on a table saw. They cut out the V cleats. Some of them were only four belts wide. Some of them were 10 belts wide, and different diameter belts, so you'd have different size grooves according to what the transmission drive was at the time. And lots of making parts, legs for horses and tops for horses, drilling out the cast iron wheels that they would get from a foundry for all the wheels for the horses. Lots of odd jobs, little jobs like that. Sweeping the floor, climbing into the sawdust bin when it get clogged up, unclogging the sawdust chute. Things like that.
Was it a good job?
I enjoyed it, yeah. The people were very nice to work for. Of course, they were my in-laws. I enjoyed the... I was kind of a hands-on person. I enjoyed that type of work. I did it in Boston at the machine shop, and it just carried through. And I didn't know anything about woodworking when I came there. I knew how to cut lumber. That's about it. But I was used to working with the machinery at the machine shop. And then we came here, but, you know, other metal machinery, woodworking machinery, you learn.
Yeah.
And they taught me a lot.
Yeah. How were your coworkers? Who did you work with?
There was a fellow named Roger Gagnon, who is deceased now, but he was from Salem. He was a woodworker. He was talented. He did all. They had him doing specialty jobs like cutting door frames for the tanning drums, which were complicated to make. There were specific cuts on the table saw and on a bandsaw that you had to follow the diameter of the arc, the diameter of the drum. And Roger was a Frenchman and good at that type of woodwork. And other guys, like, they're a mixture of... there were periods of times where they had a lot of Frenchmen working there because a lot of French come down from Canada. And... we had, of course, the Irish were the owners, but the leather industry was a big mix of ethnic groups at that time. A lot of people from Europe and the tanneries, the Portuguese, of course, in the later years, and then a lot of Dominican Republic around here towards the close of the factories, and there was a mixture of Portuguese and Dominicans, but it was quite an ethnic mix.
Was that reflected in the town in general?
Well, when I came here, it wasn't until 76, so a lot of that was already passed. A lot of them moved back home, but in the boom town, they had, you know, the Turks and the Greeks here, and they didn't get along. Back home, they weren't getting along, so they didn't get along here either. But, you know, he has stories. A lot of them worked here, made money, and then just left, went home. A lot of the Greeks stayed here, but they come over here to make money, and maybe bring their families back over. But a lot of them decided to go back. I don't really have any first-hand knowledge of that.
What was Peabody like when he moved here? How would you describe it as a city in the late
70s? Peabody was, you know, a typical working class town. I came from